everyone. We had a good time on Thursday. We had our concert and our cookout down at General Slack Park. So, and by the way, if you were part of that, I want you to stand up if you were part of that real quick. Don't be shy if you're part of that. Yes. So it took some of our people to help do that. We had over 200, it was 260 so people. And thank you guys for doing that. Yes. Thank you. So we had partnered with Hope Rising and Love, Inc. And so it was good to be out there amongst the people. It's been at least 6 to 7 years since we did that concert last time. So didn't think it was that far back, but it was. But it was a good return. It was a good return, and I believe we'll probably do it again next year. And I can tell you the chicken sure was good. Usually on these cookouts you don't get chicken, but we did, and it was really good. So the food was great, and really enjoyed just getting out meeting the neighbors again, and look forward to doing that. And I'm sure we'll be doing some other things coming up here in the fall, with probably Trunk or Treat, and then probably Christmas City or whatever y'all call that thing. So that did really well last year. So trying to get out into the community again and meeting people where they are. So down there we had a good group of people. Some people I knew, a lot of people I didn't know. But they were all people. And we had music from Hope Rising. We had our group up there. By the way, y'all sound really good up there too, wherever y'all are. Y'all sounded really good up there. Not that I'm biased, I'm just saying y'all sound real good out there. So, and we had our tents. I don't know, there's 8 or 9 tents out there, 7 or 8 tents, whatever. And it was good to be out there seeing the tents go. We had a lot of giveaways. And we gave out, I think Loving gave out some gas cards and some baskets. And we gave out a bunch of stuffed animals. That was great. We gave out all kinds of hygiene stuff. And I think the Book of John and Hope Rising was giving out full Bibles. I don't know. It was just a good time. And we had a prayer tent. And if I'm not mistaken, talking to the guys, at least they had prayed with about 16 people. So that was being specific in what we were doing. So I thought that was good. And a lot of music and food. But there was a question that I asked. I got up there and I was able to speak. And it's very hard to speak in front of a crowd that half are listening, half are not. You can, and also the distance between the stage. Next time I'm just going to walk around with a cordless, but in the stage and then the people being so far back. But I asked them a question, and I asked them a question, and I'm going to ask you the same question I asked them. How do you do it every day? How do you do it every day? How do you get up and start your day with all the things that are going on in the world, with life is changing, war in Russia, those things? How do you carry the weight of the past, your bad memories, and the loss of loved ones, family and friends? How do you make it through the lonely nights and the isolated world that we're in? How do you handle rejection and setbacks and doubt? How do you handle your financial struggles, your health issues, the death, friends and family? How do you handle rebellious children, the damaged marriage, and family strife? How do you deal with the fear, stress, and anxiety and the depression that is evident all over the world, especially in America? How do you do it? Inflation and gas prices and angry press, backbiting politics, hard to find someone to trust. How are you doing with the division in America? Because it is everywhere. Well, I will share with some people who are trying to find a way. Some are doing it through self. I'm going to isolate myself. I'm going to hide out. I'm going to be living my own little cabin in the world. I got my guns. I got my food. I'm stacked up with all kinds of water and food. I don't need anybody. I'm going to do it my way. Others are running to counselors and therapists. Nothing wrong with getting some help. But if you're a believer, you better do it with a believing counselor and therapist. But people don't care. They just want counseling, therapist, whatever. Some are saying, I'm just going to buy lottery tickets. But believe it or not, I just looked up some stats, and 70% of the lottery winners end up broke, and a third of those go bankrupt. And America is the richest country in the world per person. We have more money than the average person, the other people in the rest of the world, yet we have the most problems with anxiety and stress and depression. Sometimes people today are trying to find the fixes by affiliating themselves with a group, which ends up a lot of times becoming a hate group, even if they got the word love in it. Some are going to psychics since COVID. Some have gone to psychics, which is a booming industry now. People looking for a sense of belonging. And some people are not trying to fix it. They're just now giving up. And some are trying to find ways to escape, such as giving up on their marriage and their kids and walking away from their job and just becoming and living on the streets. Some have chosen to give up on God and their beliefs and their church and their relationship with God. Some are escaping through drugs and addiction and alcohol, whatever it may be. The sex trade, those things. Some are even trying to escape by suicide, saying, that's it. I'm done. If you have your Bibles, I want to turn to Psalms 91. That's a pretty depressing intro, huh? That's a pretty depressing intro. But let me just remind you, behind the curtain of glamour and glitter and lights, behind the world, it is doom and gloom. The world has never come up and helped me. If you're looking for the word, let me tell you, if it's just about money, all you got to do is look at America. America has more money than any other country in the world. We're all considered here rich in the world's eyes. But I want to share with you what there is a way. I'm going to start in verse 1. It says, those, and I usually use I'm using the Holman version this morning. If you go on your app and you're looking for the one to follow, I'm using the Holman version. The one who lives under the protection of the Most High dwells in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, of whom I trust. He himself will deliver me from the hunter's net, from the destructive plague. He will cover you with his feathers. You will take refuge under his wings. His faithfulness will be a protective shield. You will not fear the terror of the night, the arrow that flies by day, the plague that stalks in darkness, or the pestilence that ravages at noon. Though 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, the pestilence will not reach you. You will only see it with your eyes and witness the punishment of the wicked, because you have made the Lord my refuge, the Most High, your dwelling place. No harm will come to you. No plague will come to near your tent, for he will give his angels orders concerning you to protect you in all your ways. They will support you with their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. You will tread on the lion and on the cobra, and you will trample the young lion and the serpent. A little bit of part there that you may have heard of. If you know your Bible, you may know that Satan used part of this scripture. You that know, we're not going there, but use that to tempt Jesus. Just to throw in it. Because some of you are like, oh, I heard that before. You heard that because Satan reused it in the New Testament when he was trying to tempt Jesus. He's using it in the wrong way. And that's what his purpose was. But that's not what our purpose is today, to use it in the right way. I want to share with you today that here we see this writer writing about the things of God. But I want to, our focus today is not completely those verses I've just read, but the last three on what God has to say. I want to remind you that you can never outgive God right now. You can never outgive God. You can never outdo God. You can never outlove God. You can never outforgive God. You cannot ever give a thankful. You cannot have more grace than God. You cannot have more mercy than God. God is the storehouse of all of those awesome things. And they are endless. But God knows where our faults are, but he knows where our heart is. God sees the writer, and he writes, he says some things, that are amazing. Some of the things that encourage me as a believer sometimes is when I might get in a low moment is this. I'm not looking, and all God's Word is, all of the Bible is amazing. All of God's Word is truthful. It is all inspired. It is all the Lord's. But there is parts that I go to when I find myself in some low moments. Those moments are where I want to just hear God talk. I just want to hear the awesomeness of God. Go to the last three chapters of the book of Job, and it will blow you away. This is another one that is amazing to me on how God loves a relationship with men and women, people. We're going to break this down. Verse 14, here we go. Because he is not God, that is a person. He is loving and devoted to me. That's a big one. That is God. So God's saying, because he is loving and devoted to me, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls out to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and give him honor, and I will satisfy him with a long life and show him my salvation. And usually when we read God's word, we would just move on. But we're going to look into this because I think this is an amazing piece, because this is now God is going to say something. And when God says something, it is important. If he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. Not like you and I, when we say we're going to do something, we don't always do that, do we? Especially us husbands, right? Wow, I didn't hear any ladies say, amen, you must have the greatest husband. I must be the worst one. I must be the one that doesn't always do what I say that I'm going to do. Am I the only one in the house that does that as a man, as a husband? Come on, thank you, Mike. I got another one. Okay, great, great. Phil needed some help over here. Because he is lovingly devoted to me. That's what God says. There is three things that man has done here that has touched the heart of God. And one of them, God realizes and God sees it. God knows it. He says, he is lovingly and devoted to me. But he doesn't just say that. He says, because he is lovingly, because he loves me, he's devoted to me. That's a big, big piece. Because he is. That's man. Because the man, because the person is lovingly devoted to me. There's something going to happen. But we see the first part is man. This man is loving. He loves his heart. Some of your versions says heart. His heart is a God to God. So we see this man is, he loves the Lord. Number one, he loves the Lord. Number two, it says, because he knows my name. There's a relationship. Because he knows my name. The Lord says, because he knows my name. And the third part is, when he calls out to me. That's a relationship. Because he calls out to me. Which doesn't mean he talks to me, but he's calling out to me. He's praying to me. He's calling out to me. There's three things this person is doing. One, his heart is devoted to God. He loves God. The second part of it is that he knows God. And the third part is he calls out to God. Those are three distinctively important things for a person who is a believer. This is part of their life. You don't love something for a moment. This isn't like loving pizza or loving a movie or loving something. This is love that is continuous. God knows the difference. He's not going to get fooled by this fake love or this tangible love. This is a ongoing, faithful love. And God sees that. And he sees that he knows the Lord. He knows his name. Let me ask you this. Do you know Jesus Christ? I'm not saying that. Have you heard of Jesus Christ? But do you know? When you hear the word know, that means you know them. You have spent time with them. They're just not an acquaintance. Some of you here today, I know more of you than I know less of you, but some of you I don't know. There's some visitors here today. There's some people that's come a couple of times. I don't know you yet. But I hope to get to know you. That means to get to know you, I've got to talk with you. We got to meet together. We got to have a discussion together. And God says, He knows me. He knows my name. A lot of people know a little bit about God. They've heard of God, but they don't know Him. Because you can't know God now unless you know Jesus Christ. You have to get to know God, you have to go through His Son, Christ, because Christ gave His life up as a ransom. And so we see there are three things, but we cannot outgive God, we cannot outdo God, so God's going to do some things because this touches the heart of God. This person, that is, these things touch the heart of God. The first thing he says, I will deliver him. I'm going to deliver him. What he can't do on his own, I'm going to help him. I'm going to deliver him. Now I want to tell you that this doesn't fix everything that we're going through. What I'm telling you today is not going to fix everything. It's not going to take all your pain. Listen, Christians suffer. Christians go through cancer. Christians go through loss. Christians go through financial things. Let me just share something about financial. Never get on to somebody that has a financial problem because they made some financial mistakes. I see this more with people that have money than people that don't. I got to be careful. I know Dave Ramsey and that is such great, and I know a lot of churches teach it, and I think it's a good thing. But it also puts weight on people. It hammers people down that they don't have this much in savings, and it makes people walk away more defeated than they go away with victory. God didn't promise every believer is going to be rich. God didn't promise every believer is going to have a miraculous golden road right out in front of him. Most likely it's not going to happen. But I also will tell you, if it's going to happen and God does it for you, then you're going to be accountable for what God gives you for his glory, not your own. But God will deliver. He sees this. He says, I will deliver him. God's picking this person out to deliver. Because why? Because he's been devoted to him. He knows him. He calls out on his name. So he says, I'm going to deliver him. I'm going to do what he can't do on his own. Don't you need that sometimes? You can't do some things on your own. You need God to deliver you. And then we find out God doesn't stop there because God will not allow man to outdo him. He says this, and I will protect him. Now there is nothing like the protection of God. Now if you're a believer, I believe this, that God protects. Now, if you want to weigh out there in sinful lifestyle, you're stepping away from the hedge that God puts around you. You're running out there doing your own thing. Let me tell you, things happen. And sometimes God will say, then you're going to deal with the consequences. I love you, but you want to run away. You want to do your own thing. You want to walk away from me. God's going to love you. God's not going to love you less. But you're going to walk out there in that area, and you're going to get yourself burned a few times. And that's just sometimes God will just let you do that. Because then you'll fall back on your knees and you'll call back on him and you'll say, Lord, I have sinned. I need to come home. And God will do this. He'll embrace you when you come home. But I will protect him. I believe truthfully this. Nothing can happen to me negatively unless I cause it. Accidents happen in life. Accidents happen. You never know what disease you may get. You never know what things are going to happen. But I just know this. Because I'm a child of God, I know God has me. I am protected. I'm not invincible. I'm just protected. There's some things that's going to happen in my life that I'm not going to like. But I can tell you this, the protection of God. If God, if I know He is protecting me, and you know that He's protecting you, you know that you have the best protection that can ever be. Now, like I said before, we walk out of the will of God and we walk out into the light and we want to go back to the old ways of living. I'm telling you, that protection will fade. It will be gone. But also God says, not only will I protect him, but he says, when he calls out my name, when he calls out to my name, he says, I'm going to answer him. Now, this is one of the most confusing things because we pray about things and we say God's not answering. Or how do you know when God's talking to you? How do you know when you get the answer? One of those things is I always tell you, when you're seeking God, read the Word. Remember, when you're When you're praying, you're talking to God. When you're reading His Word, He's talking to you. I'm going to keep telling you that. When you're praying, you're talking to God. Because listen, you don't. Most of the time, we don't stop when we're praying. We don't stop to listen. We stop and we say, in Jesus' name, amen. So basically, we just talk to God. But when we pick up the Word of God, what's He doing? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God's telling us His story. God is speaking to us. He says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. That's the whole thing. He's telling us how to live life. Honor thy father and thy mother. He's telling us how to live life. So when he calls out, when we call out to God, He answers. Many times He's going to answer through His Word. Sometimes God will answer through His Holy Spirit. And you have to be sensitive to this Holy Spirit. That's a part of maturing as a believer. I don't know. I'm not one of these guys who will just believe in signs, but I believe that God does do that from time to time. God knows how to speak to us in the way that we're going to get it. If we're willing to listen, be patient, wait upon the Lord. Now, sometimes I'm telling you, patience, everybody says, oh, don't pay for patience. Patience, God is not slow. We think God is just super slow. Listen, when we were buying our fourth house, it came up and we paid for it and we made the deal with it. We made the deal after 1 week and we had it in another month. That's pretty fast for us. And that was something we weren't chasing. That was something God put out in front of us. So because He is lovingly devoted to me, He says, I'm going to deliver him. I will protect him. Why? Because he knows my name. When he calls out to me, I will answer him. So there's one for one, pretty much one for one. Because God does this, I'm doing that. Or because the person does this, God does that. Person does this because God does that. Person does this because God does that. But God doesn't stop. He says, I will be with him in trouble. Some of you are in trouble right now. I don't know your story, but I'm sure it's a group this size. There's some of you that are in trouble. You believe it's the worst situation, that trouble that you could probably be in, or you're upset because you're into that trouble. I want to remind you that sometimes we get into trouble because we put ourselves there. Sometimes we get into trouble because somebody else put ourselves in there. We were working and messing around with the wrong people, the wrong person. Sometimes we're in trouble because there's nothing that we've done wrong. Because we feel in trouble because we went to the doctor and the doctor says, you have XYZ. And you have E and F too. We're also in trouble when someone comes and says, I want a divorce. We also find ourselves in trouble when one of our children go the wrong direction. But he says, I will be with him in trouble. I mean, when the room is empty and you're in your house by yourself, or you're in your car by yourself and all that weight is on you and you don't know what's going on, I want to remind you this. God is with you if you let him, if you know his name, if you call on him, if your heart is devoted to him. Basically, a person that he's describing right here is a person who is a strong believer, who is living their life for Christ. It doesn't mean they're perfect on this side of heaven. No one's perfect. We're all going to slip. We're all going to tumble from time to time. We're all going to make the wrong choices. Listen, how many of you all made wrong choices in your life? Oh, my right hand and my left hand and my feet. Yeah, we've all made wrong choices. We've all made bad decisions. We all have those hang-ups from time to time. But if you keep sticking with God, not just in your bad times, but in your good times too, you just keep sticking with God. You keep calling out his name. You're closer to him today than you were last year. I'm telling you, he will be with you in your times of trouble. He wants to be with you. God doesn't want you to go through all that trouble. He's going to work with you. He's going to be with you. But he also says, I will rescue him. I'm going to rescue him. There are some things that are out of your control. Completely out of your control. But not just your control. But also everyone else's control. He said, I'm going to rescue him. Now we know David was surrounded by all kinds of armies and God rescues him. David also had all kinds of problems with his own family. He had some problems with his military men. He had problems all over throughout the whole story of David. We see problems with his own brothers. We see problems, but God worked with him through all of those, and he was able to get out of all of those. Now, were there consequences of some of the sin? Yes, of course. But here we're talking about, I will rescue him. And what? And give him honor. Give him honor. How many of y'all know in heaven you get a new name? Yeah. Because down here everybody knows you as Barb, the good and the bad. Everybody knows Savannah, the good and the bad. Everybody knows Brittany, all the good and the bad. When you get to heaven, that name's gone. I don't want part of the Jimmy's old junk. Let me just remind you, the rescue is not just here. It's also at death. Because God is going to keep his promise. You call upon the name of Jesus. Those who call upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. You have a relationship with Jesus Christ at the time of your death, whether it was in a car accident or on the bed with cancer, whatever it may be, God keeps his promises. I will rescue him and I will give him honor. There is something that I long for, and I think that some of you long for as well. The day you get to see Jesus' face. The one willing to die for my sins and your sins for the whole world, even though the world didn't want it. To be able to know the one that you've been talking to all those years and praying through tears and joy and laughter and sometimes tears and joys at the same time. When you've lost a loved one, not understanding why you lost a business, not understanding why you lost your spouse, not understanding why whatever it may be that you went through. I'm going to tell you, you know that he brought you through that and you get to see the one that was with you through it all. And I can't wait to see his face, but I got to walk this journey here just like you and live a life and be the light in this dark world. But I know this. He says, I will give him honor. You've never seen a celebration like what they do in heaven. How do I know that? I don't know a whole lot about it, but the scriptures does say when someone comes to the Lord, there's a celebration in heaven. Now I know there's some great music, and Brooklyn Tabernacle can pull it off real good. But there ain't no band like the band in heaven. There ain't no music like the music in heaven. Whew. And they have a celebration up there that blows all celebrations away here. And they go celebrate. And I believe they're going to say, welcome home. Whatever that name may be. Scripture says that there's one that has a name on his thigh that no one knows but himself. Y'all know who I'm talking about? That'd be Jesus. There's even honor given to him that is so amazing, that is so awesome. But the greatest honor should be not that we are honored, but that he is honored. But God's not done. God loves to give. God loves to give. What's he do next? He turns around and says, I will satisfy him with a long life. Now this could be a personal promise to him, but also look at it, I will satisfy him. Today I want to ask you this, are you satisfied with how God's treating you? Are you satisfied with your life? If you're not, you are looking at the wrong things, or maybe you just need a relationship with Jesus Christ because you don't know him and you don't call upon him. Your heart doesn't belong to him. But he says, I will satisfy him. I'm going to satisfy him. And he says, for him, I'm going to give him a long life. For us, what do we have through Christ? We have eternal life. I so love that promise. That is the greatest promise from God is eternal life with Him. That is the greatest promise. And if God would just only gave us that, isn't that enough? But He can't. He just can't out. He just wants to keep giving. And as you grow, you'll figure out that I'm living longer. Some of you thought, man, the way that I live, I don't know if I'm going to make 30. Some of you may think, oh, what are you talking about? I was so wild, I didn't think I was going to hit 25. You're a believer now. Let me ask you this. Why do you think you're still around? God wants to change your life. You come to Christ, God's going to use you. And then you see people that are still living that life, and they're still living a wild life, and you're like, what's going on? You know, and we get a little critical on them to keep being doing the same thing they're doing. Listen, God has patience, and He's wanting that person to come to Christ. Sometimes that patience does run out. Sometimes their end is done. And let me just remind you, there are a lot of people that will be separated from God. For wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Oh, I don't like that verse, but it is truth. And you think about the narrow gate, and you're thinking, wow, I got through that. But you only get through it through Jesus Christ. And listen, Christ alone. So He says, I will satisfy Him with a long life and show Him my salvation. He said, I'm going to show Him my salvation, which means somebody needs saved. A salvation to save. My salvation comes through no other than Jesus Christ. Your salvation can come other none other than Jesus Christ. So I want to ask you the question I asked this morning. How do you do it? How do you do it every day? Getting up every morning with all the stuff that's on the radio, all the stuff that you skim through, whether it's Fox News, CNN News, whatever it may be. You're seeing all the stuff that's always negative. This person against this politician, this group against this group. And you see this and you see all the fallings in the churches and the pastors that are falling to the wayside. We get all that news. We have the anxiety. I need anxiety pills. I need this. I need that. And I get sometimes we need that. But we get to all that stuff. What? How are you doing it? Because I'm telling you, if you're not doing it with God, you're doing it the wrong way. But even though some of you that do know God, you've fallen back into your own security, trying to do it your own way, and just only going to God when you feel like you absolutely need Him. This isn't what's happening here. This is a person who knows God. Be careful that you might go back into the area that you're only living on old testimonies. Can't remember your Bible stories. Your church attendances. You can't remember the last time that you attended. You might realize that you've been walking away from God for a long time. And you're wondering why. You're just the same as in this group. I believe there's a lot of believers. This is about a lot of, I said, how do you do it? A lot of this, how do you do it every day? How do you get up every day? And the stressful things that are going on, because the world is stressful. If you let it become stressful. It's stressful. But if we let God be God, we can handle that stress in a lot better way than what the world is doing it. We can understand that there is a bigger picture here. We can understand that some things were already forecasted through Scripture, that some things were already going to happen. Rumors of war, all these things, pestilence, all these things. An uprising of this kingdom, an uprising of that kingdom. God, nothing's going to fool God. But we fool ourselves. Why do we not trust God anymore? Why have we stopped trusting what we know? This is for the believer. What we know is solid. Why have we stopped trusting God? If I trust God more, I know my stress level goes down. If I turn it over to God, Scripture says, cast all your anxieties before Him. Because why? He cares for you. Why don't I experience the power of those scriptures instead of experiencing all the stress and the anxiety and the depression of what the world is trying to throw up on me? That's what it truly means. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That I can get through these days every day because Christ is the one who strengthens me. That's how that scripture works. Not just pulling it out, putting it on a t-shirt, not just putting it on a card bumper, but to live it out, saying, I know things are rough. I know the days are rough. This stuff stresses me out. I'm actually going to turn it over to Christ so I can get through this. Some of it's going to still be there because we are human, but I know this. I am going to tap into my relationship with Jesus Christ, not just during my hard times, but also my good times. Me and God, I'm going to have and strive to have a good relationship with Him so that I can have His protection, His guidance, His favor. My prayers will be answered. I know I have salvation. And I'm all up into the hands of God. The world is running around. You know what the world is doing? Your fault, their fault, his fault, that group's fault, this for. Listen, God's first going to tell you, look at yourself. You're going to find yourself coming up short. And then he's going to say, look at me. Because when you focus on God, it's hard to focus on this other stuff. And if you do focus on it, just remember this. When you focus on Christ, these things don't seem so big anymore. They just don't seem so big anymore. And even if you lost a loved one, and it hurts to lose a loved one, there's a peace that God that gives to you and says, and you hear that, I'm with you. He doesn't take the suffering away. He doesn't take the tears away. But just knowing you hear that, I'm with you. I don't know the story perfectly. I don't remember it all. I'm not trying to put them on. I only do this when I feel confident someone is okay with it. But I know when Mike and Jonah lost Andrew. They were hurt a lot. And you go out to visit. You don't know what to say. You just sit. But you know there has to be a time when everybody has to go away. Everybody has to go home. You want to do more, but you don't know how to handle it. You don't know what to do. Even pastors, you just don't know what to do. You pray with them. You pray on the way there. You pray on the way out, but then you have to go. And you learn things. I don't want to mess it up, but I just say it this way. I think they needed some peace. And so-called dragonfly flies through. Or field of dragonflies. Somehow you can ask them, there was a peace that when God gave that to them, even though through their suffering, it just said, almost that God said, Andrew's okay. I'm with you. That's what this scripture's about. Even though you go through the hard times, you know that beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is with you because you know Him. Your heart belongs to Him and you call out to Him in whatever it is. And He says, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to rescue you. I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to answer you. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to show you my way of salvation, how to get through it, and then some. I'd rather be in the hands of God than anything else in the world. I'd rather be in the arms of Jesus than any other arms in the world. I know this, that there's a lot of lies out there in the world today, a lot of them. But I know there is one truth that I can always go back to, and it is in these covers, the words and between the covers of this book. It says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. I lift my eyes up to the hills and ask, where does my help come from? It comes from the Creator of heaven and earth. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. My cup runneth. Oh, man, you just keep going on the goodness of God. But if you want to grab all that junk and all these worries, and you want to carry that baggage, you can do it. My question for you is, how's that going for you? We found out some people go to the addictions and said, I'm done. Other people will go to gambling. Other people will do all kinds of other things. Let me just remind you of this. Money will never fix it. Another person can never fix it. Family can't fix it. There's only one. Let me remind you, you don't crawl to anyone. You might crawl to your spouse if you really mess up about something. But I'm telling you what, there's never going to be a crawl like there's going to be a crawl when men and women stand before God unsaved. They're not going to fall on their knees. They're going to crawl, begging. And they're going to know this one thing: I did it wrong. But didn't we all do it wrong a little bit? Yeah. The truth of it is I did it without Jesus. And those who get to go up in glory with Jesus Christ is those who did it with Jesus, even though they did some wrong. It's either Jesus or not Jesus. That's it. How do we get to it? How do you do it? How do you do the inflation with gas and all the angry press and the backbiting politicians and all that stuff? You turn it over to Jesus. Lord, I can't change anybody anyway. And none of you have the influence to change any of those people that I'm talking about. You don't have the power to change gas prices or inflation, or you don't have a direct line, a bat phone to the president or the governor. You might know the mayor maybe, but you're not going to know the big ones. And you can't change the outcome of the results from a doctor. So I'm just going to turn it over to Jesus. Stop stressing. This is exactly what Satan loves to do. Stress you out. You notice, I'll close with this, when you pick something up that you gave to Jesus and you re-pick it up, it starts messing up again. Father, we get ready to move into our altar time. I know that there are several. Well, there's times I've looked at the news and got irate and upset, but I've also reminded myself. Your spirit reminded me. Your word reminded me. This is not the first time these things have happened. It's been going through the history since time began. You know people better than we know ourselves. You've been dealing with us since the day you breathed life into the first man, Adam. And yet still, even after sin, you still love man so much that you worked with him. And you're still working with us today. And I pray right now that you'll work with those who need to be worked with today during this time. In Christ's name, amen. Let's go ahead.